WHYY is proudly supported by Penn Medicine. From groundbreaking discoveries to life-saving care, Penn Medicine's innovation is helping to change lives, one moment, one treatment, one patient at a time.
Martin Scorsese also earned a spot on the new AFI list with 1990's Goodfellas, which features our next guest, actor Michael Imperioli. Before Imperioli became Tony Soprano's nephew Christopher on the HBO series The Sopranos, he appeared in Goodfellas as Spider, the kid shot by Joe Pesci. Terry spoke with Michael Imperioli in 2000.
I played a kid who worked in the social club where these wise guys hung out. And, you know, when young kids do that kind of job, they do anything from, like, sweeping up to, you know, going to make food runs or make coffee or bring coffee. In the movie, specifically, you see me serving drinks at a card game. I may go buy them a sandwich if they wanted it, or make them a sandwich for the card game, or, you know, clean up when they're done and do whatever they need. Kind of like a gopher of sorts. That was my character. His name was Spider.
And you get shot.
Yeah, well, that was based on a true story, apparently, from what I understand, that there was a character who was this kid, and one of the guys kind of was getting a little hot under the collar and was fooling around and wanted me to, like, in an old Western, you know, move a little quicker. So he was shooting the ground. He wound up shooting me in the foot. And then in the next scene, he's kind of bothering me and saying, come on, you know, kind of doing the same thing. And I have this huge bandage on my foot. And I get upset and kind of tell him to go, you know, blah, blah, blah. And he gets really upset and winds up killing me. But it's kind of it happens right in the middle of the movie, and it's, I think, there was no reason really for me to my character to die, and it kind of really showed. That was Joe Pesci who shot my character in the movie, and it was a point in the movie where it really kind of shows he's taken a turn into, like, I guess, depravity, where he's really, it's not about business anymore. It's really, he's just kind of becoming psychotic, where he's just killing whoever he wants to for whatever reason.
Let's hear an excerpt of that scene.
Even though you got that, you could dance, huh? Give us a couple of f***ing steps here, Spider. Bullshit for you. Tell the truth, you're looking for sympathy. Is that it, sweetie?
Why don't you go f*** yourself, Tommy?
Oh. You're right. I can't believe what I just heard.
Hey, Spider, here. Yeah, this is for you. Attaboy.
I got respect for this. He's got a lot of f***ing balls. Good for you. Don't take no shit off nobody. He shoots him in the foot. He tells him to go f*** himself. Tom, you gonna let him get away with that? You gonna let the punk get away with that? What's the matter? What's the world coming to?
What the f*** world is coming to? How do you like that?
When the Joe Pesci character is really going over the edge as he's shooting at you, did you feel that Joe Pesci was really doing something transformational in himself in that scene?
Oh, no. I mean, you get into it and you're doing your thing. I mean, I think I was too involved in my thing to, like, be taken out of it and think, wow, he's really going somewhere else. I mean, we were into our own parts and playing it to the hilt. I mean, I never felt he was out of control or that I had to, you know. Although I did get hurt, you know, in the scene when they killed me. In the first take, when I'm getting shot, I hit the ground and I had an actual glass in my hand which shattered. And I sliced two of my fingers open. So I got rushed to a hospital out in Queens, but I had these huge bullet holes and blood all over my chest. And as they rushed me to the hospital, as I went into the hospital, they rushed at me and put me on a stretcher, and I'm trying to explain to them that it was my hand, and they just thought I was delirious and wouldn't listen to anything I was saying and thought, you know, they were going to have to do some kind of, I don't know, trauma surgery or whatever the hell they were going to have to do. And then they finally understood and saw all the rigging for the blood packs and stuff like that, and everybody kind of had a laugh, and it was very funny.
Tell me what it was like to work on a movie with De Niro and Joe Pesci and Scorsese.
You know, I learned a lot watching Robert De Niro. I mean, to be 22 years old and all of a sudden be on the set with Robert De Niro and be an Italian kid from New York and be working with this guy, that was like, I mean, it was really a dream, those 2 days. I mean, the whole experience of being in that proximity was really a dream. But I watched him a lot, and what I watched from him was economy. He would come to the set, and immediately when he'd be on the set, he wouldn't kind of dissipate his energies. He would be very focused and immediately start to be involved with his props or his, you know, if he was sitting at the card table, when he got to the set, he'd sit down, he'd get his drink and, you know, his prop drink and his props and shuffle the cards or whatever. But no, I remember watching him, and on the set, no time was ever wasted, like just kind of sitting around, you know, talking or just, you know, socializing or anything like that. When they cut, he would leave the set. Like he treated the space of the set as something almost sacred, not to be wasted, not to expend superfluous energy on that, like a, you know, like a stage. When an actor does a play, you come onto the stage and you do your part and then you get off the stage. And it seemed he was treating the movie set the same way. Whereas a movie set, you can come on and just like talk and fool around. And some people do that and that's fine. But economy was the thing that I kept seeing that he was doing to keep his energies there. So when the camera's rolling and he's doing a take, you can have your energy be full out.
So you were 22. Did you want to talk to De Niro all about The Godfather and Taxi Driver, or did you want to leave him alone?
No. The first day, Scorsese came up to me and said, the only thing I ask of you is on and off camera, you treat them as their characters, which actually was very freeing because I would have been a nervous, stumbling, you know, fan if I had to say, well, what was it like doing this or that? You know, this actually took the pressure off, because the first time I actually was in the room with De Niro, he came and sat down on the set, and I went up to him and asked him what he wanted to drink, because I was in charge of the drinks. And he kind of just looked at me, and then he said, I'll take a shot of scotch and a glass of water. There was no alcohol on the set. It was all props, but it made it very easy, because I didn't have to be, you know, he didn't have to be one of the greatest actors of all time, and I'm this, you know, young guy who admires him so much. Although, in essence, that's kind of what our characters were, because he was a very well-respected mobster, and I was someone who looked up to him. But I didn't break that character till I was done with the 2 days, and I said goodbye to him, and he was very kind and offered me words of encouragement, and that was it. But it made it very easy to do that.
Michael Imperioli, speaking to Terry Gross in 2000. We'll revisit more classic American movies honored by the AFI in the second half of the show.